gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
To commence reading at verse 11. And it reads as follows. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the young of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I messed up. Now I want to make up. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I messed up. Now I want to make up. Now, if you have messed up and desire to give God some praise. What a wonderful story that depicts the love of the Heavenly Father for his children who have gone against his word, who have gone against his will, and who have ultimately gone against his way for their lives. What a wonderful story that shows through earthly example the divine care, compassion, and consideration that God gives to his children. Yes. This story is one of the most known biblical stories in the New Testament, especially as it relates to God and his love and the restoration ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling in this 15th chapter of the story about three lost realities. One's about a coin, another is about a sheep, and this one is about a son. And he shows in all of these stories that there is great joy and rejoicing at the discovery of one who was once lost and now is found. If you will allow your sanctified imaginations this morning to work with you as we visit this text. And just somehow, if you can get out of self for just a moment, put yourself in the place of the prodigal son. Because in so many ways we are like him, and while we don't have the substance to waste as such, we do have the situation that we can identify with, because we have all, as God's children, and I'm not talking about before you were saved, I'm talking about since you've been saved, have messed up. And this is a message in this new year to help you get it right and get it straight and get on what is the best design of God for your life, so that you can prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth, as is the prayer of the Lord for you. Listen at this, if you will. Jesus is talking, and he reaches this point now because he is bringing home this illustration to further magnify that happens both in the natural arena and then that happens in the supernatural arena. That happens with dust and that happens with divinity. And he says, a certain man had two sons. Now, whenever the word says certain, I need us to understand this is not a figurative story, it is a literal story. The only difference is that the names have chosen to be hidden rather than spotlighted, so that the principle may be highlighted and that we not lose ourselves in the character, but rather in the message that is in the story. And so when it says a certain man, you need to know Jesus is talking about a story that actually happened. He just chose not to reveal who they were. So the Bible says he had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. The father had this younger son. Some suggested was the desire of his heart, his younger son, and he desired to bless him. He had given him his portion that would have been his when the father would have died. He rightfully counted out his particular inheritance and gave it to him at his request. Now, he did this, and wisdom allowed him to do this for a reason, because doing it now showed, first of all, his love for him, so much so that he wanted to show him that he wasn't ready for what he was asking for. And yet, if he allowed him to go through what he was going to go through, chances are he would be there to help him restructure his life after he had fallen, since he knew this kind of action and or activity would certainly lead to destruction. So he gives his son, while he is yet alive, his inheritance, which goes against the tradition of receiving an inheritance. And so he does it out of love. And the Bible says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." When he received his inheritance, he got all of this money in his hands, and his hands started burning. Got more than he had ever had before, and he got excited. He's young, he's full of life, and now he feels he's a man. He's ready to go out on his own. He's ready to try life. He wants to do new things. So he gathers together all that he has, because he never plans on coming back home. So he's getting what he has coming to him, and he's getting what he has already earned and received, and now he says, "I'm going on out on my own." So he starts out on his journey. But notice here now, he doesn't move in the community. He doesn't even move further into the state. He moves all the way out of the country and goes where nobody knows him. Now, he's doing this because he comes from a wealthy family. He knows that people know his family, that knows him, knows how he ought to act, knows how he ought to carry himself. So he wants to get to a place where people don't know him or his people, so he could let his hair hang down and do just, y'all know how that is, don't? When you want to do what you want to do, you don't stay close to home. You don't go where folk will know you, but you go to a far country. Yeah. So you might not drink around home, but when you go to a far country. You might not dance around home, but when you go to a far country. Y'all ought to act like you know what I'm talking about today. So his desire, look, when he got what was his and where he was able to do what he wanted to do, look at what the devil did. The devil took him far away from home. But what he didn't realize was he was moving him from all of those places that reminded him of who he was. The devil devil moved him from all of those places where he would have remembrance of how he ought to act and how he should conduct himself and what he should not. He removed, the devil did, him from all of those people who would say, now, son, I know your people, and I know if your daddy saw you acting like this. He got away from everything and everybody, all restraints and all limitations, so he could do exactly like he pleased. Because he thought he was big enough, grown enough, and had money enough to do it. So the devil pulled him away from all of his safeguards. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's what the devil tries to do to us. When we think that we have got it all together, we know how to handle it, we know what we want, we know what we want to do, and yet we have some word in us, and we try to go against that. We don't want to be nowhere where anybody will remind us of who we are. So the Bible says he went to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He threw wild parties. He acted unseemly. He did things that were not in his nature and are accustomed to doing. He did all of these things because he removed himself from any place and state that would bring him back to the reality of who he was. And listen at this. There was nobody there to tell him, slow down. There was nobody there to tell him, take it easy. There was nobody there to tell him, that's enough. There was nobody to tell him when he needed to come in at night. There was nobody to tell him, you need to watch that person that really ain't your friend. He didn't have anybody there to teach him and to guide him, to show him. But he who had lived a sheltered life, he who had lived a godly life, a structured life, now got out in a place where there were no rules. And he was able to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it, and as long as he wanted to do it, and didn't have to answer to nobody. But what he forgot was, what he had wasn't going to last. And so while he spent and spent through party after party, celebrated and celebrated, he came to that point where he was partying so hard he didn't even realize nor keep account that his money was constantly running out. So the Bible says, listen, listen, and he divided unto him his living, and after he went, verse 13, not many days into that far country, he wasted. Somebody say wasted. Do you know what wasted means? That he didn't have anything to show for it. See, you waste when you don't have anything. And, you know, you look at your own money, you look at your own situation, and you recount and look at what has passed through your hands, and then you say to yourself, now what do I have to show for it? Yeah, I've dined to some of the finest places, but I can't show with the exception of a few pounds. You know, I mean, whatever else it is you do, whatever is your demise, whatever it is that you've done, if you don't have something that is stable, stout, and strong, something you can point back to show as an example, as an investment, as a reality of wise thinking and wise spending, then you look at your life and you see how much you've wasted with uncontrolled living, with excited without any constraints living. And this man did this. And the day came, the Bible says, listen at this. And when he had spent all, there arose, verse 14, a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Now, isn't it like the devil not to show you certain things till after you are without the resources to make a difference? The famine didn't come till after his money ran out. Look at what the word says. It says, and he began to be in want. Now, you know what's the interesting thing about that portion of this statement here that just seems to go by us? He was a man from his childhood who had never, ever been in want. Everything he had need of was already in his father's house. Everything he had desire for was already in his father's house. Every need that he had need of, his father provided for him. He didn't have a need. He may have had some wants, but he never had a need that was not automatically provided for. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, so true is the saying, you never miss your water till your well runs dry. He never knew what it was to want something and couldn't go to daddy and say, daddy, And dad is seeing that it lined up and it aligned itself with the structure in the family, and he received it, or he was then corrected and given a better way and better choice to make. He never knew what it was to be in need until he went out on his own, and then he extended himself so far that no present help was available. You see, he only looked at one side to going into a far country. Yes, I get to do what I want to do, like I want to do it, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, and with who I want to do it, but the day comes when the famine arises. And who then can I turn to? Because I have fled from my present source of help. So listen at this. Bible says again, verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now here's where insult is added to injury. Here he is, a Jew by nationality. Here he is removed from any activity with swine, because the Jews believed that they had been possessed with demonic spirits and they were a curse to eat. So they had no dealings with swines in that sense. And yet here he is, from a respectable, rich, and well-off family, is now broken down to the place where he has nothing and he has to now take a job feeding pigs. Now, if you've ever been close to any place where pigs dwell, you know, first of all, they don't smell good. Second of all, it doesn't look good. And thirdly of all, it's a messy place to be. But listen, a pig's place is a reminder, again, of the lifestyle of the pigs. And it also reminded him, and he did not realize it till he got there, that he had made a mess of his life, and there he had to deal with it. Now look at this, because here the Bible says again, verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He resorted to eating the food that the pigs ate. He resorted to becoming a servant in a pig's pen. I mean, it went against the grain of his integrity, of his dignity, of his heritage, and all of these other things. And that's what sin did to him. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, Dr. Joe Gann had it right when he said, basically, there are three things that happen to us when we sin that we must be cognizant of. First of all, sin always takes us where we don't want to go. If you sin long enough, I don't care who you are, you will just keep on. Sin will guide you and lead you, and you will look up one day and you will find out that you are in a place you never desired to be, because sin always pulls you, leads you, guides you with your eyes covered to a place where you don't want to be. The second thing sin will do for you is it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always want more from you than sin is willing to give to you. It gives you pleasures for a few moments, but some of those pleasures cost you a lifetime. You go there and you find yourself doing what the devil has fooled you and hoodwinked you into doing, making you think that this is all right, making you think that this is well, pulls you into place and said it won't cost you much, just enjoy yourself. And then when it's time to pay the tab, you realize that you have been robbed, because you have not gotten a fair exchange for what sin cost you. But not only does sin take you where you don't want to go, and not only does it cost you more than you want to pay, but thirdly, it keeps you longer than you want to stay. Somebody ought to hear me here. How many times have you been in a mess and you say, I want to get out? But sin said, nah, you ain't leaving this soon. You just got here. Make yourself at home. You're going to be here for a while. Sin will haul you. It will arrest you. You will shake the bars, but the doors won't open up, because sin will do its best to keep you as a prisoner for life. Oh, sin tells you, try a little drug, little dope, little this, little that. It ain't going to hurt you. Make you feel good. Take you on a high. But sin don't tell you all of the other effects that come with it. Take a little drink. And you start off drinking sociably, every now and then. Little cocktail here, little nightcap there. You know, little social drink there. That's all it. And then you start having troubles, and Satan said, get you a drink, calm your nerves down. You don't. Then you've had a stressful day. Satan said, get you a little drink and unwind. Throw your feet up and enjoy a good movie, you know. Sin tell you, you done made it now. Get you a little after dinner wine, a little brandy, a little, you know. Sin will tell you that when the problems get to be too pressurous, get you an escape, man, you can't deal with. Get you something to just knock you out. You don't even want to think about it. Don't want to deal. And before you know it, you are an alcoholic. Satan tells you, ain't nothing wrong with a little creeping. What you don't know won't hurt you. You know, you ain't really going to, you know, a little harmless flirting ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to really do nothing. I'm just, girl, you know you looking good. I just won't tell you that. That's all I want to do. But she likes that because her man ain't told her that in a long time. And you start talking, can I get them digits from you? You know, I just want to check on you, you know. Y'all acting like y'all know what I'm talking about now. Ain't nothing wrong with just having a little harmless lunch, a little dinner, a little, you know. Then next thing you know, you singing Me and Mrs. Jones, We Got a Thing Going On. We meet every day at the same 6:30. She know I'll be there. Then before you know it, you are hooked up in a fatal attraction. You're ready to say, listen, you know, I've been unfaithful to my wife, my husband. I can't do this no more. My conscience, yeah, well, that's your problem. No, you ain't going nowhere. And then look how the devil fools you. Baby, I never hurt you. I never do you no wrong. Then show you when you're ready to get out and move on, sin holds you. Sin say, if I can't have you, ain't nobody going to have you. And they're going to show you better than they can tell you. Sin. You into places where everybody else may not know about it, but you know about it. That's that secret place. That's that place where you get when the devil works on you by yourself. Perverts your mind, perverts your thoughts, and calls you to not realize who you truly are. And lower your standards and lower all of the expectations of the Lord of you. And you wind up finding yourself a puppet on Satan's string. Sin don't tell you when you're ready to break your habits that they were easy to form, but they're difficult to break, because sin wants to hold you longer than you want to stay. But I don't think I need to tell any of us about how we messed up, because we all know how we messed up. And you can add your own little story about that, how you messed up, and relate to that. But I want to tell you how to make up. Because somebody's still sitting here with tears in their eyes because they're in the midst of a mess up. But I want to help you get out of your mess up if you would desire to make up with God. Now let's go back in the text, if you will. Look at it. Bible says, verse 17, and when he came to himself. Listen, this, if you don't get nothing else I say about the beginning of what it takes to make up, is that you, not somebody else, because how many times have other folks seen you and said, you know what, you, I don't understand how you got in this, I don't understand why you in this, I don't understand why you acting this way, and yet it doesn't penetrate you. Nothing happens to you until you come to yourself. Now, what that suggests is that you have left and are lost the reality of who you are and whose you are. Just as your real self-conscious, just as your real inner person, the essence of who you are, begins to leave you when you make choices that differ with the word of God and the way of God, it is the same way that sin separates God from you. And so then when you become separated from the real person that you are, the real sanctified you, when it leaves you because of decisions to sin, then you are no longer acting out of the trueness of who you are and designed to be by God. You begin to act out of the spirit of the enemy.
That's right.
But here the word says he had been in sin to the point where he recognized, I don't have to stay here. And see, that's the point and place where we all have got to come when we mess up. Yeah, the devil's going to make you feel bad, and you should feel bad. The devil's going to bring guilt upon you and shame upon you, and all of those things should happen to you, because all of those are mechanisms. All of those are properties that God uses to help you to come to yourself. If you felt nothing for the sin you did, then you would certainly not be one of his. But when he allows those things to prick your heart, and you yes, you make a decision to sin, but you then realize, I can't live in this sin. It's because he starts working underneath the skin and showing you pictures of your life, showing you of who you really were, showing you of the relationship you had, showing you of what you're about to throw away, showing you of what you can have, showing you that what he's got better prepared for you is better than what the devil is giving to you right now. When he starts showing you these things, because he loves you better than you love yourself. But you've got to come to yourself for God to reach you underneath the skin. Listen to what the word says. He says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? First thing that happens when you come to yourself is you start recalling. You take a trip back down memory lane. You start remembering how it was. And he started remembering the good life. Or some of us don't realize how good we've had it until the enemy shows us how bad it can really be. Sometimes we don't realize that we were really up when we felt like we were down. But you don't know what down is until the devil brings you down. Here there were things we thought we couldn't deal with. He was so ready to get out of daddy's house. He didn't like the rules of daddy's house. He didn't like the structure of daddy's house. He didn't like what daddy had as a guideline that he had to obey while he was in daddy's house. So he wanted to do it his way, and only to find out that he wished he were back at daddy's house, because daddy had something that was worth living for. So the first thing he did was he recalled where he was, who he was, what he had. But after he did that, then the first thing that he did as related to his inner preparation for getting things right with God and his Father was that he repented.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at the same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-1-T, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.
Worship him in spirit and in truth. You're invited to worship services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning at 4210 South MacArthur Drive in Alexandria. Now, let's join the broadcast.
God bless you in greetings and at all power. powerful blessing and healing name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is your friend and your apostle of prayer, James Broadnax. And I'm excited about what the Lord Jesus is doing through this miracle-working prayer blessing ministry. Yes, the Lord is blessing ordinary people with all kinds of blessings. Blessings of good health, blessings of success, and blessings of prosperity. And I believe with all of my heart,